With 1 week until the WWE draft, tonight's SmackDown was the final show under the roster as it was originally composed by Vince McMahon. We have yet to have a Triple H draft. This is going to be the first Triple H draft since he took over as the head of creative. And SmackDown, as we know it, is going to look different after last week. We just don't know how different just yet. I'll tell you what, though, after seeing Seth Rollins against Omos, randomly booked for Backlash in 2 weeks, I'm not so sure that Vince McMahon is not going to be booking the show going forward. He's peeking out of the weeds again. There he is. I see him off in the distance in the weeds. Either that or he's smoking them. I'm not sure. It's one or the other. Where the hell did that come from? I'm sitting here watching SmackDown tonight, and they're flashing match graphics on the screen for Backlash coming up in Puerto Rico in 2 weeks. We know Cody Rhodes is going to face Brock Lesnar. We know that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and Matt Riddle are going to be taking on the Usos and Solo Sikoa. Those matches have already been made official. And then we had some new match announcements tonight. We know that Rhea Ripley is going to be defending her SmackDown Women's Championship against Zelina Vega, which was set up in a backstage segment on the show tonight. So that we already know. But then they're continuing on, and I see Seth Rollins in a match graphic with Omos. And I'm thinking to myself, did I miss something? Maybe I blinked on Monday and I missed something. Boy, B the Booker has come early tonight. Usually we save that for the end of the stream. We got that pre-stream. We got that before I even went live on the stream tonight. We had B the Booker. Did they set this matchup on Rampage last week and maybe I just didn't see it? Maybe on Dark? This right here is the best that they can come up with for Seth Rollins. I was just talking the other day about how directionless Rollins has felt. They just, you know, they wanted to give us a visual aid. So there it is. Omos gets a random match with Seth Rollins with no build, but LA Knight cannot seem to buy television time on these shows. Now, hopefully, this is just a draft swerve where they announce the match out of nowhere to shock us when Seth Rollins gets moved to SmackDown next week. That's what I'm hoping this is. That wasn't the only match they announced. They announced the United States Championship triple threat for Backlash. It's going to be Austin Theory defending his title against two men. He's going to be putting the championship on the line against Bobby Lashley and Bronson Reed. And that at least makes sense because when we saw Lashley and Theory in the ring together on Monday night, it was Bronson Reed who showed up to spoil the party. And he interfered in the match, and he squashed Bobby with the Tsunami Splash, and so that at least made some modicum of sense. But boy, you know, this draft next week, man, this draft cannot come soon enough. This tonight was the definition of a lame duck show. This draft cannot get here soon enough. It had some good wrestling on the show tonight, but I see good wrestling on television every single week, on WWE television, on AEW television, Ring of Honor when I'm able to catch it. Get plenty of good wrestling. I get plenty of great wrestling on television every week. You got to give me more than that. And that's not what this show tonight was all about. If you were looking for more than just some good wrestling on the show tonight, you didn't really get much of it. Tonight's main event was a rematch of last week's main event between Matt Riddle and Solo Sikoa, this time with a no disqualification stipulation added to it, although the outcome was no different. Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins were not at SmackDown tonight, so the show ended with Matt Riddle being overwhelmed and outnumbered by the Bloodline and left laying to close out the show. We did get a fun Intercontinental Championship match, though, with Gunther defending the title against Xavier Woods. And it would be quite shocking to me if he had an Intercontinental title defense that was anything other than at least good. Gunther can do no wrong, and Woods, I thought, was a fine opponent for him tonight, although no doubt as to the outcome of this match. But then again, you could say that about most of the matches on the show tonight, as far as them being very predictable. But that was a good match between those two. This is your Friday Night SmackDown review for Friday night, April 21st, 2023. We opened SmackDown tonight with a tag team match. It was Rey Mysterio and Santos Escobar representing the LWO taking on Finn Balor and Damian Priest of The Judgment Day. It's good to see Damian Priest getting television time post-WrestleMania. He was the one Judgment Day member who did not have a match at WrestleMania this year, but they did have a good spot for him for Backlash. I always thought when they announced the show for Puerto Rico, it just seemed to me like he would end up in the main event or he would end up in a big tag team match on the show, which he is. I'm sure it's going to end up being Rey Mysterio and Bad Bunny against Damian Priest and Dominic, most likely. Could be Priest and Balor, but I'm thinking it'll be Priest and Dominic. And so we've been getting Damian Priest on television. He's been racking up wins. Bad Bunny is going to be back. He's hopping back onto Raw in Chicago this Monday night. So we'll have, I'm sure, a face-to-face between them. I thought the opener here was solid. Came down to confusion at the end of this match on the part of the babyfaces. Rey got Balor in the ropes for a 619. He did not see Damian Priest make the blind tag. Tagged himself in. Priest got sent to the floor. Rey followed through with a 619 to Balor, which led to Escobar tagging in. And Escobar went up top, and he hit a top rope splash. Seemingly had the match won, but the referee was trying to communicate to him, no, 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 not the legal man. Priest came back into the ring. He picked up Escobar, hit the South of Heaven chokeslam, and pinned him. So again, Mysterio and Escobar did not realize that Damian Priest had made the blind tag. As Priest and Balor walked away, they stopped on stage. Priest had the mic, right? He's gotten a bit of mic time over the last few weeks. And he said the Bad Bunny is going to be back on Raw, sold out in Chicago this Monday. As dull as some of these shows have been post-WrestleMania, the company is still on a hot streak. I mean, they have a lot of sellouts coming up. I saw the picture that Paul Heyman posted on social media the other day, telling the, it was like a photo that he took of a sign, I guess, that's posted at some of the shows for talent saying, sorry, no comps. No complimentary tickets for friends and family for these shows. And they list a whole bunch of upcoming TV shows and Backlash coming up. They're legitimately sold out for Backlash, over 17,000 tickets out for that show, which with Bad Bunny on there is not a surprise. But they're on a hot streak. You know, business right now, ticket sales, it's all, you know, all coming up aces for WWE. Creatively, these last few weeks, not so much. The draft has a lot to do with that. But we're going to see, you know, there's going to be a creative reckoning coming out of the draft, especially when it comes to things like the women's division on these shows. And you can't just blame Vince McMahon for that. You know, Triple H is going to bear a lot of the blame or credit if things improve coming out of the draft, if things are really refreshed, and if there are new call-ups from NXT that can really kind of, you know, invigorate the shows and invigorate the women's division, invigorate the tag team division. You know, you got to give Triple H some of that blame as well, or you give Triple H credit. But one thing is for sure, they definitely need a refresh on these shows. That is for sure. But as I said, Priest giving a warning to Bad Bunny heading into Raw Monday night. And he said, Benito, I hope things go better for you on Monday than they did the last time that you paid a visit. And then he ended with a diabolical laugh to close out the segment. Escobar was on the floor in this match when Priest made that blind tag, so he didn't see it. It's not as if, you know, what a dummy, how did he not see it? He's standing there on the apron. He was on the floor, he didn't see it, so, you know, at least he didn't come across as a moron, but he's been losing a lot of matches lately. You know, Escobar has been losing a lot of matches. Rey and Escobar, they lost to the Judgment Day 2 weeks ago on SmackDown. Just last week, he lost a singles match to Damian Priest. And I went back to check. You would have to go all the way back to the very beginning of the year, the very first SmackDown of 2023, to find the last singles win on television for Santos Escobar. It was a win over Kofi Kingston. That's how far back you'd have to go to find a win for this guy. And, you know, all these losses, they could be leading to something. I certainly hope they are. They could be leading to something. They could be leading to Escobar turning on Rey, which I think, you know, potentially has two positive outcomes to that. And it's something I've talked about, you know, in the last several weeks. One is that we get a Rey Mysterio-Santos Escobar program. You know, while it's nice to see them as friends and allies and tag team partners in the LWO, I would much rather see Rey and Escobar in a match and in a program together. But the other potential positive in that is another idea that I have floated, which is that Dominic Mysterio, especially if the Judgment Day is split up in this draft, because there's a bunch of different groups on this roster right now. You've got the Bloodline, you've got the Judgment Day, you've got the LWO, you've got tag teams. Who or what is going to be broken up in the draft? You would think some group, some tandem, some faction will end up being split up. It's not going to be the Bloodline. Although if the Usos were to regain the tag team titles, they could move the Usos to a different show, and then just by being tag team champions, they could appear on both shows anyway. I don't think they have the balls to break up the Bloodline, nor would I. The Judgment Day, to me, would seem like the likeliest possibility as far as a group being broken up. If that happens, we could end up with Dominic Mysterio as a member of or leading the LWO. Because right now it's like his father is sort of the de facto leader of this new group that's formed. Perhaps Escobar and them go heel. Dominic joins with them. I think that could work. So I'm hoping that whatever it may be, it's you know, leading to something. I feel the same way about LA Knight. All these losses that he's been racking up on television now, you would hope that there's some semblance of an idea. There's some direction for it. And there's a method to the madness. That's something I would expect from Vince McMahon as the head of creative. Booking shit for the sake of booking shit, forgetting that he booked something a month ago, booking rematch after rematch, guys go on losing streaks, they don't lead to anything. I would like to think Triple H is a little more careful and a little smarter about that sort of thing, I hope. Especially when it comes to someone like LA Knight, who was not on the show tonight. But apparently, you know, we don't have any room for him on the Backlash card. We got to get Omos on that card in Puerto Rico. Zelina Vega. She was backstage talking to Adam Pearce. She told him that she wanted to challenge Rhea Ripley at Backlash for the SmackDown Women's Championship as the only Puerto Rican female on the roster. She wanted that championship match in Puerto Rico. Pearce said that he would talk to Rhea, talk to upper management, and get back to her. This was always the obvious match for Backlash because the Judgment Day is feuding with the LWO. And later in the show, they did make it official. So that is going to be the SmackDown Women's Championship match at the pay-per-view. We got a pre-taped Karrion Kross promo. I like the way this was shot. This was very slick, the way they did this. And we had Scarlett, as he was speaking, walking behind him, way off in the background, coming into the foreground, bringing the tarot cards over. Kross said that it takes a lifetime to find an identity. It's clearly been taking him a long time to find one since he came back. He said he never did anything to anybody. It was the cards, the tarot cards, that decides things. He says, we don't know who we are until someone takes things away from you. He took away Drew McIntyre's temperament in their feud. And as he was speaking, they spliced in footage from their feud from many months ago. Even though Drew ended up winning that feud, he I guess, took him off his game. He got under his skin. I guess that's a moral victory for Karrion Kross. He said he took away Madcap Moss's joy and all the jokes. He said he took away Rey Mysterio's patience. Now he's going to take Shinsuke Nakamura's honor. It's an interesting approach to, you know, draw attention to the past feuds that he's had, and he hasn't had that many of them, but to draw attention to the past people that he has feuded with. Some he's beaten, some he hasn't. Drew McIntyre got the better of him in the end of that. But the last time we saw Kross in the ring with Rey Mysterio, for example, I believe Kross got the win. When Kross feuded with Madcap Moss, he ended up getting the win. What did it really mean? Not much, because they didn't have a direction for Karrion Kross. Karrion Kross beat Madcap Moss, and then, what was he, in the Andre Battle Royal at WrestleMania? He was one of, I think, 20 bodies in the ring. He certainly didn't have a match at WrestleMania. Hasn't done much since WrestleMania. Hasn't wrestled a single match on television since WrestleMania. So even the people that he has beaten and gotten a win over, Rey Mysterio, right? Incidental. It wasn't about Karrion Kross, it was about Rey. That was all about furthering the Rey and Dominic story. It had nothing to do with Cross. Cross was a warm body in the ring. It was a means to an end. They have had no direction for Karrion Kross. Now they're pairing him up with Shinsuke Nakamura, a man who he actually has a friendship with in real life or a history with. I guess they've trained together. There's been pictures of them on social media. They're not bringing any of this up so far in this feud, though. It's all about, you know, the tarot cards, and it's all about, you know, the very gimmicky stuff that he's been doing on television here. But the problem with Karrion Kross, other than what I just talked about, is the fact that while he is good in promo segments like this, right, he has a certain presentation that I think is a plus, he does not come across as a legitimate threat. He doesn't. He speaks, you know, he uses these big words and he has these platitudes and everything that he uses, but because he hasn't really done anything to back up those words, they ring hollow. Nobody looks at him as any kind of meaningful threat because he hasn't given us a reason to look at him as one. It reminds me of Bray Wyatt back when he was still doing the original cult leader gimmick and he would do these spooky promos, right? Where going into a pay-per-view match, maybe a big climactic match with somebody, a John Cena or a Kane, Undertaker, whoever it was, he would do these promos and it sounded good, but then he would go and he would lose. And it became a running joke. That's where the whole Eater of Pins thing came from. Now, the fact that I'm drawing that comparison is not meant to be a compliment. It's not a good thing. You can talk the talk, you can't walk the walk. And so far in his return, Karrion Kross has been like a lost soul. Now, maybe there'll be a little bit of direction here with this program with Nakamura. I don't really see any reason why this would be any different. I just don't get the sense that they really know what to do with this guy. And they certainly don't seem to have any big plans for him. So he's not someone who comes across as a real threat. Kross is somebody who I think would benefit from a move to Mondays in this draft. I don't know that they're going to do that, though, unless they move Nakamura as well, because they're just starting a program with these two. So it seems unlikely that they would move him if they're about to start this program, unless they move both of them. But I think he's someone who would benefit from a change of scenery, because so far on SmackDown, it's the Bloodline show. And as long as the Bloodline is in the top spot and in the driver's seat, and all the focus and attention is on Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa and the Usos, there's no spot for Karrion Kross. It's why I laughed when Mike Johnson had that report on PW Insider, and it said that on the internal roster, Karrion Kross is listed, and he may still be listed as the number two heel on SmackDown. And I said, on what planet is Karrion Kross the number two heel on any of these shows? Shows that he's barely on in the first place. Roman Reigns is the number one heel in the entire company. Gunther is the number two heel on SmackDown. Always was. The best thing for Karrion Kross would be to get the hell away from SmackDown. Try to get a fresh start on Monday Night Raw. We had Ricochet and Braun Strowman against the Viking Raiders. Michael Cole on commentary said that Strowman is now calling his team with Ricochet. They have a team name now. I don't know if this is official, but according to Michael Cole, the name that Braun Strowman has come up with for their tag team is Team Jacked, Tan, and Juicy. Good luck putting that on a t-shirt. Team Jacked, Tan, and Juicy. Doesn't sound very marketable to me. During the break, during this match, Valhalla caused a distraction outside the ring, allowing the Viking Raiders to take over. Ricochet broke free, and he tagged in Braun Strowman, who took out Ivar with a shotgun dropkick. This guy thinks he's Finn Balor in here, hitting the shotgun dropkick in the corner. And then, with the Viking Raiders outside the ring, Braun got a big smile on his face, and it was time. It was time. You know what comes next here in a Braun Strowman match. It was time for the Strowman Express. Yes, indeed. The train pulled out of the station. Braun Strowman exited the ring. Down goes Eric. He blasts Ivar right into the ring post with a shoulder tackle. He gets up on the apron. He's about to get back in the ring, and Valhalla provides the distraction. And that gave Eric, who was back in the ring at this point, gave Eric the chance to catch Strowman with a knee strike. Ivar came back, and he hit his giant flying splash. Off the top rope, all 300-plus pounds comes crashing down on Braun Strowman. And it looked like they had a double pin, too, because Eric was in the ring, and he was almost pushing down. And still, Braun kicked out. He got the tag to Ricochet. Ricochet rocked Ivar with a jumping knee. Strowman then launched Ricochet into Ivar and then sent Eric out to the floor. Ricochet came off Strowman's shoulders with the elevated Swanton Bomb and pinned Ivar to win the match. You had to know that they were not losing here. They just got a new tag team name. They have a new name now. They're not going to start pushing a new team name and then have them lose in their first match. The announcers talked about them being in line now for a future tag team championship match, which could be another ominous sign for Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. The Saudi show coming up next month is one, because Owens and Zayn, neither one of them have ever flown out for one of the Saudi Arabia shows, which I think is their choice. Certainly for Owens, I think it's been a choice of his. I don't see why this would be any different next month for Night of Champions, and if that's the case, if all titles have to be defended on that show, that's ominous sign number one that they're not going to make it to Saudi Arabia as the tag team champions. The fact that they are now potentially setting up Braun Strowman and Ricochet to be contenders, maybe number one contenders after next week for the tag team titles, could be another sign, because we already had Owens and Zayn against the Street Profits a few weeks ago, babyface against babyface. I don't know that they're going to do another babyface against babyface match. It's more realistic for me to see them doing the Usos again in there against Ricochet and Strowman, which, again, is a match we've already gotten, but I think that's more realistic than them doing Owens and Zayn against Ricochet and Strowman. So it's looking more and more to me like those guys are in for a short tag team title run. Doesn't necessarily mean they're losing next week. Are they going to make it to Night of Champions with those titles? It's not looking good. Braun, we'll see you later, buddy. There you go. The women's tag team titles were on the line. Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez, their first title defense, defending against Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green. The heels cut a promo on the champions in the ring before the match began. Sonya was threatening to throw water on Liv. Both of them were threatening to throw water on Liv the way they did to Mia Yim and Candice on Monday. Chelsea landed a Russian leg sweep from the middle rope. Referee, though, stopped the count because she was trying to use the ropes for leverage. Sonya tagged in. She and Chelsea hit a double suplex on Liv. Sonya got a pump kick. Also tried using the cheating tactics to get the win here. Got caught by the referee. Liv eventually tagged out to Raquel, who hit the twisting Vader bomb to Chelsea. Sonya, though, broke up the pin. That led to Liv Morgan making a tag. Raquel was trying for a superplex on Sonya. She got it. Liv caught Chelsea with the backstabber and then doused her with water. And Chelsea, of course, sold it like she was shot. And that led to a roll-up with an assist from Raquel using her legs, her feet, to push Liv forward for added momentum for the win. That's a finish we saw the Usos use many times early in this Bloodline storyline. You'd have one Uso going for the pin in the ring. The referee wouldn't see the other Uso on the apron using his legs to push his brother forward. Same finish here. Sonya and Chelsea were not credible challengers. They won one match on TV. They gave them a token win on Monday night over Mi Chin and her tag team partner, Candice. Who's Candice? How sad, right, for Candice LeRae that she's been relegated to her tag team partner. It's a token win for them on Monday, just to try to give them some credibility that they did not have going into this match. Their first title defense, they weren't losing the titles in their first title defense. They're still waiting for Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler to come back. Ronda has the broken forearm. We have no idea when Ronda will be cleared to come back. She came back at WrestleMania because it was WrestleMania and she didn't want to miss the show. She didn't do anything, and now we have to wait until she's all healed, so we're just kind of stuck in limbo with all this now. As far as the match itself, not much to speak of. People didn't really seem to care about it, and the match was average at best. You know, I got to tell you, this everything that they have done since WrestleMania, since those two excellent matches that we got for the women's championships, and I'm not talking the tag titles, I'm talking the singles titles, Rhea and Charlotte, Bianca and Asuka, those matches were excellent. Everything they have done with the women since WrestleMania has been just completely lame and dead and stupid. And the matches have been average at best. I don't know what's going on. Clearly, creatively, there's no direction, but even the matches themselves just have not been very good. So I don't know what's going on with this women's division right now. This women's division feels like it is in the fucking dumps right now. All the more reason to get some new blood up in this draft and give these women some direction. Give them some focus. Give them some attention. Do something. You've got two women's championships. That's to say nothing of the tag team titles. But you have two divisions. You've cut them in half. You have a Raw Women's Championship and a SmackDown Women's Championship. Do something with them. Triple H, this is not something you can just throw on Vince McMahon. This is on Triple H. He's been at the job now for what? Probably 8 or 9 months. The women's division, if anything, is worse under Triple H than it was before he took over. There's no excuse for that. And for the first time in his career, Xavier Woods challenged for the Intercontinental Championship. That's the good news for him. The bad news is that he had to challenge Gunther. Woods got his initiation in this match with the Walter Chops. He took him like a champ. He took him to the chest. He took him to the back. He took him to the neck. He held up okay. Gunther taunted him. He said that he wasn't on his level, which fired up Woods. Woods dropped the champion with a tilt-a-whirl forearm shot. Woods then landed a somersault splash. He went up to the top rope. Gunther, though, sent him back down with a chop to the chest. Woods cut down Gunther with a kick to the face and then hit a big, diving, top rope leg drop for a close near fall that they got the crowd to buy into, which is not an easy thing to do, because how many people honestly expected that we were going to get a title change here a week before the draft, after how many months that he's been champion, that Xavier Woods would go on a random SmackDown and beat him for the Intercontinental Championship? Are you fucking kidding me? Right? But they got the crowd to buy into this near fall. They were on their feet. They thought he had it. He was this close. They thought he had it. But Walter kicked out. Gunther recovered. He put Woods in a sleeper hold. Then he attempted a powerbomb. Woods countered out of it. Gunther kicked out of an O'Connor roll and immediately went back to the sleeper. And this time there was no escape for Xavier Woods. It'll be a new day when he finally wakes up. And still, your Intercontinental Champion. Good match here. And Gunther racks up another victim as if there was ever any doubt. But this was good stuff. This was good stuff. And look, Xavier Woods, we don't get to see him very often in singles matches. It just so happens right now that he is a man on an island all by himself because his partners are in a bad way. Big E may never wrestle again. It's still possible he'll never wrestle again. We still don't have any clarity on whether or not he will be back in the ring, and if so, when. It's been over a year. Kofi Kingston, I think, basically broke his ankle, had surgery. He's going to be out for a while. So he's all alone, right? The New Day is down to one. So we're starting to see him in more singles matches, and you might forget how good he really is. You know, he's very good. And I thought he played his role well. He was very good here in this match. But under no circumstances should he have beaten Gunther for the Intercontinental title. I could see him challenging for the United States Championship. But so long as Gunther is the Intercontinental Champion, that just is not going to happen. Now, they replayed the Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn win at WrestleMania. They got their big WrestleMania moment. Won the Undisputed Tag Team Championships from the Usos. So we had footage of that. And then they plugged the WrestleMania rematch for television next week. It's going to be Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn against the Usos. That brought the Usos down to the ring for a promo here before this main event with their brother. They were focused on winning the titles back next week. And they said that they're going to become 9-time tag team champions, and they're going to dedicate their win to the tribal chief, Roman Reigns, and they put their fingers up in the air. That brought out Solo Sikoa for his main event with Matt Riddle. No disqualification. And before I get into the main event, I do want to thank everybody who has not only liked the video, because I appreciate that, but I saw Paul Hamilton gifted 10 channel memberships. So we have 10 new members of our Sound Off family because of Paul. Paul, you are with us. Thank you very much, sir. Paul, you are the man. It is much appreciated, and welcome to all of our new channel members. You'll be getting a new episode, by the way, number 4 of Sound Off Gamer in a few days, and you guys, as usual, will get early access to it, so keep an eye out for that. But we had our main event, no DQ. Riddle jumped Solo from behind in the ring to kick things off, and Sikoa quickly took over. He pulled kendo sticks and steel chairs out from underneath the ring. I love, too, like when he lifted up the ring skirt, we got a little glimpse underneath the ring. And you saw the kendo sticks. They were all neatly lined up. It's amazing how the company, you know, they're just like, here you go. We have kendos. What do you need? It's like a fucking Home Depot under there. We got chairs. We got tables. We got kendo sticks. You need tools? We got a toolbox. What do you need? You need a wrench. You need a screwdriver. We used to have a screwdriver in here. Brian Danielson took it, so we don't have one right now, but you can have a wrench. We've got a compass. We've got an Allen key. What do you need? So he grabbed the kendo sticks, and he grabbed the chairs. He beat Riddle down with a kendo stick, and then it was Riddle's turn to return the favor. Riddle teased pulling out a table from under the ring to a big pot, but Solo cut him off. Easy heat. A lot of boos for that. Riddle recovered. He hit a Broton off the ring steps. That took us into the final commercial break of the show. Coming out of the break, Sikoa put Riddle in the corner with the chair over his face. He went for the corner splash, but Riddle threw the chair back in his face instead. Riddle followed with an exploder onto 4 chairs that were positioned upright in the ring. Sikoa rolled out to the floor, and Riddle tried to go after him, but Solo grabbed his leg and slammed him on the apron. Solo tossed Riddle over the announce desk, and he tried to flip it over on top of him like he did last week at the end of the show. Instead, Riddle, he had his back up against the barricade, and he was using his feet to push off against the table, stopping Solo from flipping the table over onto him. Instead, it was Riddle. A moment later, it was Riddle who ended up overturning the table on top of Solo Sikoa. He buried him, literally buried him, underneath this table. At which point, the Usos appeared. Of course, here come the Usos, and they attack Matt Riddle. And I was thinking, you know, this match is no disqualification. There was nothing stopping Jimmy and Jay from coming out and interfering at will. But they decided to wait. When things started to look bad for baby brother, that's when they decided to come out and interfere in this match. Riddle fought them off. He wiped them both out on the floor with a floating bro. As that was happening, on the opposite side of the ring, Solo Sikoa emerged from underneath the announce desk like a movie villain. He popped up. In the ring, Riddle ducked a Samoan spike attempt, hit the ropes, but when he came off, Solo caught him with a spike to the throat, which Michael Cole first said was a clothesline. Then he wondered, well, maybe it was the spike. Yes. It was the spike. Solo Sikoa did not win this match with a clothesline. He won with the Samoan spike. After the match was over, the Usos gave Riddle a one and done through a table in the ring to close out the show, as the announcers wondered if we were going to have new tag team champions next Friday night. They were a little heavy-handed with this, to the point where now I'm thinking, okay, they were pushing it so hard, and the bloodline was standing tall at the end of this show, to where now I'm thinking, okay, we're not going to get a title change next week. But honestly, I still feel like their run is going to be cut short, shorter than people like. And if it isn't next week, I still think it probably will happen before the Saudi show at the end of next month, but it could very well happen next week. It's a draft show. Anything is possible. And that was SmackDown, right? Some good wrestling. The Walter match, the main event was pretty good. So there was some good wrestling on the show, but there just wasn't enough meat on the bone. I mean, compared to a lot of the other SmackDown shows that we have been used to watching, where we said SmackDown's the A show. Well, if SmackDown is the A show, then we're in trouble right now, because the A show the last few weeks has not been all that interesting. And tonight was just overall, it was a very dull show. But it was a lame duck show, because in a week, they're going to shake up the rosters. We don't know what that is going to mean. We don't know what that is going to look like. Triple H said, we are truly going to change the game. We still have no indication what that means. If a couple of big names go from Raw to SmackDown or SmackDown to Raw, who cares? That happens in every draft. What is it about this draft that's going to change the game? We haven't been told. We do know that NXT talent will be eligible for the draft. We could have main roster talent that gets drafted to NXT, right? That would be a surprise. It wouldn't be the first time we've had main roster talent go to NXT. Dolph Ziggler's done it. Bobby Roode's popped up in NXT. The New Day got a run down there as tag team champions. Apollo Crews is still down there in NXT. T-Bar went back to NXT as Dijak. Even that, I mean, that wouldn't be groundbreaking if that were to happen. But it's safe to say that the reason we did not get any new NXT call-ups coming out of WrestleMania was because the draft was coming up, and they wanted to save those surprises for the draft. Somebody like Cameron Grimes, who's been stuck in purgatory now for how many months? When was the last time we saw Cameron Grimes on NXT television? It feels like it's been almost a year at this point. There were rumors of him being revealed as Uncle Howdy. We don't even know when or if Bray Wyatt will ever be back. We have no idea what's going on in that situation. When and if that ever does happen, it'll be Bo Dallas' Uncle Howdy. Cameron Grimes could do his own thing. Get him up there. You got some tag teams down there. You got a Pretty Deadly. You've got at least a couple of ladies you could easily call up. You've got a great women's tag team and Caden Carter and Katana Chance. You've got Bron Breakker. I don't know if they're going to call him up in the draft or wait a little bit longer, but he certainly, he doesn't have a whole lot going on himself. He literally said, I don't want the NXT championship again because that thing was a curse on me. And he gave away a potential spot in an NXT championship match. So now he's got a match coming up. It's Spring Breakin' next week, their big Spring Break episode against Andre Chase, who has built up a little bit of a fan following, but he is a mid-carder at best on that show. That's what they have Bron Breakker doing. Bron Breakker should get called up as well. Grayson Waller is another one. He's challenging for the NXT Championship next week. He ain't going to win. Get him on up. Let's get some new faces on up. Really, really freshen things up on these rosters. But at the end of the day, it comes down to the booking. You can call up everybody in the world. You can call up the entire NXT roster if you want to. It won't matter if you don't have a plan for them. It won't matter if you don't have something for them to do. And it reminds me of the Triple H quote from a few years ago when he was still actively running NXT. And he said, we don't want to call people up unless we have a six-month plan for them. 6 months. I agree with that, by the way. If you're going to call somebody up, you should have at least a six-month plan for what you want to do with them when they get called up to the main roster. Triple H said this at a time when he wasn't running creative. He said this at a time when Vince McMahon was still officially the head of creative. Well, this is Triple H's first draft, and if he's going to call people up, I certainly hope he sticks to his own words and he remembers what he said and has a six-month plan for the people that he calls up. Because it's usually around this time of year we get spring cleaning cuts. They haven't happened yet. April 15th came and went. Nobody got cut. I hope nobody gets cut. I don't want to see anybody lose their job. But it's always possible it could still happen. Hopefully they have a plan for these people. If not, people that are just kind of floating around aimlessly, unless you're a big star like Seth Rollins, they're not going to let go of him. If it was anybody else, I'd be worried. That's the SmackDown review for tonight. Here's the poll. 30s all across the board. Look at that. 30% thumbs up, 36% thumbs in the middle, and 33% of you have given this show tonight a thumbs down. So the thumbs up votes are in the minority right now. There's more thumbs down and thumbs in the middle than there are thumbs up, with over 700 votes in so far. So at Solomonster on Twitter, go ahead and vote in the poll. 30s across the board is never a good thing. So I am clearly not alone in my thoughts about this SmackDown show tonight. So let's take a look at your super chats here. We're gonna get on through this easy, man. I'm telling you, this television show is fucking dead right now. Even just like the people who, you know, the numbers as far as the live streams and stuff, man. It's like WrestleMania happened and then Cody lost, and it's like, fuck, man. nobody seems to give a shit. Hopefully the draft will change that. Hopefully the draft will change. We have talked about the draft and what it means and what it doesn't mean. I certainly hope that it means something to somebody, because they got to get something going. Let's start with Jacques Fowler. Is surprised the Dark Side of the Ring has not done an episode on Haku yet, given some of the stories involving him. Dark Side of the Ring, you know, focuses on people who fell on hard times, have either dealt with tragedy, caused tragedy in some way. There's nothing dark about Haku's life. He was a very scary man. He still is. And there's a lot of stories out there about him, but I don't think he's necessarily a candidate for Dark Side of the Ring. It's not usually what these episodes are focused on. Jay Glow with a $4.99. Solo Sikoa is boring, and saying he is a poor man's Umaga is being kind. Yet he gets the massive push because of who he is related to. Well, he is getting a push at this level because he is an Uso. That's true. There's no lie there. Him being added to the bloodline put him in a very posh position from the moment he debuted. He debuted in the main event of the Cardiff show in front of 60-some-odd thousand people. Right? There's nobody else from NXT who's gotten that kind of call-up. So, yeah, I mean, you don't like Solo. I think Solo has done well. But has he benefited from being part of that family? There isn't anybody in the world that is going to tell you otherwise. If they do, they're lying to you. That's why he's being pushed in main events every single week, because he is part of the bloodline. That's it. It's the only reason. Somebody asked if I'm going to talk, if I'm going to review Rampage. No. Rampage, for those who want to watch it, is airing tomorrow night. Rampage is not on tonight, but no, I will not be reviewing it. The Fluff Salisbury, good evening, Solo. What is your favorite match from any pay-per-view that you attended? For me, it is HBK Flair at WrestleMania 24. I've had the great fortune of seeing a lot of great matches. You know, Daniel Bryan's, both of his matches at WrestleMania 30 were fantastic. Undertaker and CM Punk, you know, WrestleMania 29. WrestleMania 31, we had Brock and Roman, and then the big Money in the Bank cash in. I'm just thinking of the WrestleManias that I've been to. Kurt and Ronda against Triple H and Stephanie was a lot of fun to be there live for. Brian and Kofi at WrestleMania 35. If we're talking just, you know, in terms of just best pure pro wrestling match, it probably was one of the matches I saw on the Ring of Honor shows that I went to. It was probably something from the, I want to say it was Glory by Honor 5 Night 2. 2007, maybe, if I have the year correct. I want to say maybe 2007. There was a match between Kenta and Bryan Danielson. If that isn't the best, it's certainly up there as one of the best matches I've ever seen live. So I can't tell you right now exactly what the number one match is, because I've seen so many great ones. But if you've never seen that one, try to track that down. They probably have it on Honor Club. I imagine they have all those old Ring of Honor shows on Honor Club. So if you're an Honor Club member right now, if you're paying for the service, look that show up. Glory by Night 5, or Glory by Honor, I think it was, Part 5, Night 2. And there was a GHC title match on that show with Nigel McGuinness. Oh, gosh, I forgot who it was against. But that was also a great match as well. Josiah, thank you for the super chat. I appreciate it. Brandon McNeil with the $9.99 sending tons of love to everybody watching this video in the present and the future. Each of you are beautifully unique, and each of you matter in this world. Thanks for all that you do, Solomon, sir. That was a very inspirational message. I appreciate that. And Brandon, I hope you are having a wonderful night. The champ with the $19.99. This is kind of why I don't like the draft after WrestleMania. Unless they are going to pause everything for a few weeks. It is always slow or doesn't make sense leading up to a draft. That's the problem that you have with the draft regardless. It doesn't matter whether it's after WrestleMania or if it's the time they were doing it in the fall. There's always this period beforehand, this lame duck, dull dead zone where they don't want to make any big moves. They don't want to start any major angles if they're just going to go and shake up the rosters. So the fact that they're doing it a few weeks after WrestleMania or a month after WrestleMania, I still think if you're going to do a draft, this is the right time of year to be doing it. Although I would have done it a few weeks ago. I wouldn't have even waited this long. 2 weeks after WrestleMania. That's when I would do a draft if I was doing it. It would be 2 weeks after WrestleMania. They chose to do it a month later. Do it over the course of two nights, which is what they've been doing in recent years. But it doesn't matter. Regardless of what time of year it is, you're always going to have this dead period. Rob G. Was the king mad at JR when he returned in November of 2001? Why would he be mad? No. No reason for him to be mad. I think they were very happy to be working together again. Rodimus Prime, Rollins against Omos at Backlash. WTF. Yeah, you and me both. James Cooper, I know it's not an AEW stream, but what do you see as the ceiling for Takeshita? He's exciting, has charisma, incredible in the ring, and very over. I think the sky's the limit for him. I look at him, and I hate to even make this comparison because I feel like it's unfair. But he could eventually be, still very young, but he could eventually be what Okada turned into. You know, he could be that guy. I think as he gets to show off more of his personality, just as far as like, you know, there's a certain charisma about him. I'm saying he's The Rock. Everybody has their own unique type of charisma. If you can bring more of that out of him. In the ring, we already know what he can do. And think about this, as great as he is now, he's still very young. I mean, he's not super young. He's been doing this for a while, but he's not, you know, he's still a young guy. He could get even better. And just think of all the names that he hasn't even worked with yet that he can work with. He could be a major player. So I think the sky's the limit for Takeshita. Bobby's World with the $20 Super Chat. We have, as a fellow Mets fan, although I don't watch because every time I do for a season, they lose. How do you feel about the pitch clock? Personally, I don't think the game needs to be sped up, as baseball is a game of anticipation. I don't mind it. I think that there were a lot of games that, you know, went on for too long. And if it helps speed the game up a little bit, then I think that's a positive thing. So I don't hate it the way that I know some people do. It doesn't really bother me. The Mount Vernon Kid, Christopher Bennett. I find it fun. Karrion Kross is taking credit for Ray beating his son. I said it's an interesting approach that they're taking. We've got the Mount Vernon Kid. Again, answer me this. I can't be the only one that is getting tired of the constant losing with Ray and the LWO. It just makes them feel like losers. If it's leading to Escobar turning heel on Ray, then in the end it won't matter. If the losing is leading to something and potentially leading to a feud between the two of them, then I'm okay with it. But I agree with you. If they're just going to continue to lose, Ray can lose because Ray's a made guy, right? He's a Hall of Famer. Escobar is not. And you don't build a Hall of Fame resume by being a loser. people like to think, oh, wins and losses don't matter. I've heard people who work in the company, I think Road Dogg, oh, wins and losses don't matter. And I don't agree with that. And I think, frankly, that's a lazy fucking excuse for people who just think, well, you know, this is the way that we book and this is the way that we do things and everything we do is right. And we know what we're doing and everybody else is wrong. Now, look, you can book your product in a way to make wins and losses meaningful. I mean, it's all a work, but you get in a ring, you ring the bell, you got a referee in there, one person wins, one person loses. Yeah, I'd say wins and losses fucking matter. And if Escobar just continues to lose without there being any sort of payoff to it or a reason for it, then people are going to hear his music when he comes out and they're going to say, oh, here comes Dolph Ziggler. Or here comes, you know, insert someone else who is typically used these days as a punching bag, you know. You can fill in the blank, put anybody in there you want to. That's not how Escobar should be used. Escobar is very talented. Escobar, I think, deserves a chance to be pushed. He's doing the LWO thing right now. He's being associated with Rey. That's a plus. Get some television time. Losing all the time will not do him any good unless there's some kind of payoff to it. Dom Joseph, what was Paulie thinking putting mass transit against New Jack? It was a recipe for a disaster. They were not thinking, I think, is the easy way of answering that. They weren't thinking. They weren't using their head. Keyshawn Johnson with the $9.99. Would you be willing to do something like Tales from the Territories? And which area did territories draw the most money, and which promoters other than Vince had a big impact on wrestling that we see today? No, I mean, look, I've talked about stuff like that on the podcast periodically. As far as doing a segment on it, probably not. I don't think so. I mean, that would be a lot of work for a segment that I'm not really sure what the level of interest would be in just doing a segment on that. But I, you know, talk about some of the other territories and promoters. And I did a lot of that when I covered Tales from the Territories. You know, I did reviews on every single one of those episodes. And we have Dark Side of the Ring coming up. And sometimes in those stories, you know, in those episodes, we talk about other territories. I've done This Week in History. We did that for a year. We brought that back. So it's been covered before. Luther Angel with the $5 super chat. Hypothetically speaking, if WWE could sign anybody at all, is there anyone you could think of who would beat Roman instead of Cody? I say Jon Moxley. So you're saying, is there anybody that if WWE could sign them to a contract that they would put them over Roman Reigns? No, I think, you know, Cody will end up being the guy. And Cody did help start AEW and all that, but he also came from WWE. So I think Vince McMahon saw him as a WWE guy. That's why, you know, they gave him the big push when he came in. If he was purely an AEW guy, I don't think his push would have been as strong as it was when he first came back. But I think they looked at him as somebody who left, made himself a name, and came right back. Drew McIntyre, same thing. They fired him. He left, became a bigger star, and they brought him back. If Kenny Omega suddenly became available and they signed him, they're not going to bring in Kenny Omega, who's never worked on the WWE main roster before. He's an AEW guy, right? He was a New Japan guy. He's an AEW guy. And put him over Roman Reigns. I don't see that happening. So I don't think realistically that they would bring anybody in and put them over Roman Reigns. They would want it to be a WWE guy. If they could get somebody like Jericho back or Moxley, who used to be in WWE, I still don't think that they would have them beat Roman Reigns. Nor should they. Moxley should not be beating Roman Reigns. Chris Jericho should not be beating Roman Reigns. So no, I guess to answer your question, the answer is no. Keyshawn says, how different would WWE be if Jerry Jarrett took over? And do you think that that would have played a role during the Monday Night Wars? Yeah, it would have been different. How different is impossible to know. I don't know what a Jerry Jarrett booked WWE would have looked like, but his track record of success as a promoter speaks for itself. I think he would have done well. How it would have affected the Monday Night Wars against WCW, it's impossible to know. I have no idea how he would have utilized a WWE roster. But if I were a betting person, do I think, would he have succeeded or would he have failed? I think he would have succeeded. I think he would have done well because he had a track record of doing well elsewhere. And I think he could have done that in WWE. But we'll never know. And Lakers Pats, Seth makes it rain with drip. Call him the Rainmaker. Seth's not making it rain doing anything these days, the way that he's being booked. Now he's got to go in there and be a miracle worker with Omos at Backlash. I'm telling you, I'm hoping that this is all just a draft swerve. They just pulled this out of their ass out of nowhere. And then the draft is going to happen, and one or both of them, I could see Seth going to SmackDown, but then Becky would have to go too. But somebody moves, and because of that, the match doesn't happen. I can't wait to hear the explanation on Raw Monday night for how this match came about. I cannot wait to find out what their explanation for this is going to be. This is going to be very entertaining to see how they explain this one. Falcon Arrow on Omos, says Brock Benningfield. Oh, man. Anyway, thank you, guys. Kind of a quick SmackDown stream tonight. Again, not much really on the show to talk about, but you got over an hour of Sound Off Gamer episode number 3. It went up for everybody earlier today. For those of you enjoying the gamer content, please leave a comment on that video and give that video a like as well. Episode 3 is up right now. Episode 4 is going to be going up next week. Channel members will get it first, and we have over a dozen new members of our family. Thank you to all of our new channel members and those who gifted memberships to people. When the next episode goes up, you guys will get early access first, as always. We did not hit our goal for Be the Booker tonight, unfortunately. So there will be no Be the Booker, but hopefully you guys will be able to hit the goal on Monday, because that's when we'll be live again after Monday Night Raw, the final Raw before the draft, which does not begin until next Friday. So get ready for another 3-hour lame duck show on Monday night. I can't wait for this Rollins and Omos explanation. Enjoy yourselves this weekend. Episode 805 of the podcast will drop on Sunday. Until then, be well, stay safe. Enjoy the weekend, guys. I'll see you for 805 on Sunday and Raw live on Monday night. Until then.